Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhi Lila, Chapter 20, The Lord Instructs Sanatan Goswami, Text 154. Which is from the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarna Karanam. I wasn't here. Ishvaraha, the controller. Parama, supreme. Krishna, Lord Krishna. Sat, eternal existence. Chit, absolute knowledge. Ananda, absolute bliss. Vigraha, whose form? Anadi, Anadi, not dear. Dear is when the sandhya is there, the joint. Then the H becomes an R, but it's actually an H. Anadi, without beginning. Adi, the origin. Govinda, Lord Govinda. Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Translation: Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Purport: This is the first verse of the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. Text 155. Svayam Bhagavan Krishna Govinda Paranam Sarvasvairya Purayara Goloka Nichadam. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. His original name is Govinda. He is full of all opulences, and his eternal abode is known as Golok Vrindavan. Text 156. Iti cham sakala pumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam Indrari Vyakalam Lokam Hridayanti Yuge Yuge. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatar. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. Purport: This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28. See also Adi Lila, Chapter 2, Om Agyanati Manandasya Ginnanana Salakaya Shakshurim Minitam Yena Tasmai Si Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sanatan Goswami was very, very qualified. He had studied under the best teachers at his time. It is said that he studied directly under Vasudev Sarvabhauma, or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and his disciple Vichavachaspati, who were both extremely learned. So in that way, Sanatana Goswami had received a very good education, being from a Brahmin family. He was destined to be a scholar. But then the Nawab Hussein Shah interfered with that material destiny of Sanatana Goswami, and enlisted him along with his brothers in the government service in West Bengal. So it is said that there in the district of Malda we find the village of Ramakeli, where Rupa and Sanatan had their base. We discussed this the other day in our course in the college, how Rupa and Sanatan were living there in Ramakeli. And in Ramakeli, they had made their own little Vrindavan. Although at the court of the king, Rupa and Sanatan were dressed in as was fashionable for Muslims at that time in the court. Although in court affairs they acted as ministers, in their private situation they were acting like devotees. They had, in that village of Ramakeli, they had installed deities of Madan Mohan already. We see they're still there today. And on the bank of the Ganges, there, according to the Bhakti Ratnakar, there were many cottages. And in these cottages they were providing for different Brahmana scholars from all over India. And very learned scholars would come. And every day there were discussions on the scripture. So in this way, they had discussions with the most learned teachers of their time on subject matters of scripture. So one can just imagine how learned Rupa and Sanatan were. Sanatana Goswami, he was the prime minister, and his service in the government was indispensable to the Nawab. Rupa Goswami was allowed to retire at a somewhat early stage. Therefore, Rupa Goswami was the first one to receive instructions, detailed instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, prior to these detailed instructions, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had personally come to Ramakeli in the year 1513, 1514, possibly. And at that time, they had been initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had changed their names to Rupa and Sanatan. However, Sanatana Goswami had to continue in government service, and although he wasn't very interested. Rupa Goswami left and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and received instructions in Prayag, now known as Allahabad. And sometime later, somehow or other, Sanatana Goswami also managed to free himself from government service and then met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Benares and received instructions there. And these instructions are now explained over several chapters. And in these instructions, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was basically explaining his philosophy. We find many verses quoted in these chapters from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, from Rupa Goswami, also a number of verses from the Brahma Samhita and Srimad Bhagavatam are presented here as representing the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India, it was at that time that he went to the Adikeshav Mandir. And there, in that temple, there was a group of brahmanas who were discussing a scripture which was unknown outside of that temple. But somehow or other, a manuscript of that scripture was preserved in that temple, and it was the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. And these brahmanas were very learned in this scripture, and they were all discussing it in various ways. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these discussions, he became totally ecstatic, and he started to dance in ecstasy. And they gave him the manuscript, and later he brought that manuscript to Ramananda Roy, and he said, "I've brought this for you." And at that time, all the devotees, they copied that manuscript. And the Brahma Samhita was spreading everywhere and became like very, very prominent in the Vaishnav society. And of course, the Brahma Samhita is therefore become a very essential element of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. We know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't write any books, and therefore they often say that it is very difficult to ascertain what the real philosophical understanding was of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They say that because he took sannyas in the Mayavad tradition, that maybe he was one of these sannyasis who had a bit of mixed philosophy. But our response to that is no. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in South India found this Brahma Samhita, and it wasn't just that he found it, he highly endorsed it. And as he highly endorsed this Brahma Samhita, he accepted the conclusions of the Brahma Samhita 100%. Therefore, the Brahma Samhita is also representing the theology of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly. And interesting, because sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. And therefore, it refers to connections with Madhvacharya in connections with Brahma. It's difficult to establish much of a Brahma connection, but this Brahma Samhita is one element of the Brahma connection, which is very clear. He was fully accepting the philosophy of the which Lord Brahma presented in the Brahma Samhita. Therefore, the Brahma Samhita is not just a nice scripture which some devotees like very much and which, you know, is nice for recitations on special occasions or something. No, the Brahma Samhita is like a foundational scripture in our sampradaya. And the conclusions of the Brahma Samhita are essential. And for matters of like going to the essence of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we go to the Brahma Samhita. And then, of course, the Brahma Samhita is establishing Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sat Sit Ananda Vigraha, is establishing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. Well, that is explained a little bit more in the following verse, Eti Chamsa Kala Pumsa Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. It is explained that that is the verse that is known as the most important verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is this verse, Eti Chamsa Kala Pumsa, is described by the Acharyas as the Paribhasa Sutra, or the one verse that sheds light to the whole text. So this verse, Eti Chamsa Kala Pumsa, is explaining the whole Bhagavatam in one verse. Through it one can understand whatever is described in Bhagavatam. And that verse is explaining that there are many incarnations of the Supreme Lord. But of all these incarnations, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the... And that is the essence. All these other incarnations are emanations from Krishna. And it is Krishna who is the Supreme Lord. That is the core of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is not at all commonly understood. Even amongst Vaishnavas, there is not that understanding that Krishna is Adipurush, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom all others emanate. The Brahma Samhita also describes dipachireva hida santra mahabhyupecha dipayateva vrittahenu samana dharma yastadrik eva hicha vishnu tayor vibhati govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. That as we can, from one candle, one can light many other candles. And in this way, from the original candle, Sri Krishna, so many other candles of different incarnations were lit. To make the same point very, very clear. So this is the central point of the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This morning I was doing some work on some writing, a book on Bangladesh, and one of the places in Bangladesh related to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the birthplace of Advaita Acharya. So I was writing about Advaita Acharya, and in one lecture in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada is commenting on the position of Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya is described as Advaita Harinadvaitat, that he is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, of course, it's explained how he's different and non-different at the same time, how he's the avatar of the Lord, the expansion of the Lord, and that we understand here. And then the verse continues to explain that Advaita is engaging in bhakti samanat, that he is engaging in as an acharya in preaching acharya bhakti samanat, that he is always preaching the conclusions of devotional service. And then Srila Prabhupada took that as the core of his lecture and said, yes, an acharya means one who is always preaching the cult of bhakti. And then he explains there are many devotees who are always absorbed in chanting the holy name, who are always focusing themselves on remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service. And that is very good, but they are not acharyas. An acharya must preach the cult of bhakti. So the cult of bhakti is to establish everywhere that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that all other manifestations of the Lord are secondary to Him and are emanating from Him. And so that is our principal mission, again and again, to establish that. And then that there are many avatars emanating from Krishna. There are also many energies. In the next verse, it is said, Jnani Yogi Bhakti Tina Sadhani Ravasi Brahma Atma Bhagavan Trivida Pakasa. There are three kinds of spiritual processes for understanding the Absolute Truth. The process of speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and bhakti yoga. According to these processes, the Absolute Truth is manifested as Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. And then the next verse. Vadanti tat tattvividas tattvam yat jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmiti bhagavaniti sabjate. Learned transcendentalists who know the Absolute Truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So from that verse we understand that not only is Krishna the origin of Paramatma or of different incarnations, but Krishna is also the origin of Brahman. And Brahman is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as a Shakti, as the energy of the Lord. It is said, it is the energy of the Lord. And then that energy of the Lord is transforming itself, Brahmana Pratistaham, into all the other energies. Everything in the material world is resting on this Brahman energy of the Lord. So in this way, in this chapter, it is explained how Krishna is the cause of all causes, how all different forms of the Lord, the various avatars, and all the energies of the Lord are manifesting from Krishna. The energies are then His internal energy. The internal energy is manifest in the Pancha Tattva as Gadadhar, the Shakti Tattva. And then you have the marginal energy in the form of Srivas, Thakur, the Jiva. And you have the Bahirangi Shakti, the external energy in the form of the material energy. In that way, we sort of have a full coverage of all the different elements that emanate from Ishvara Parama Krishna Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. The Chaitanya Charitamrita deals with two major topics, one can say, tattva, or establishing the truth of Krishna, and rasa, tasting the mellows that exist in the relationship in devotional service to Krishna. So there are these nectar chapters which are full with ras and wonderful stories, and everyone is smiling and everyone is feeling like this is amazing. And then there are these kind of chapters which are giving us a serious dose of philosophy. And partially, part of the audience is gradually drifting away into other spheres, where the foggy ones, wherever that may be. But both are essential, because without proper understanding of rasa, proper understanding of tattva, one cannot fully understand rasa. I'll give an example. In Vrindavan, next to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, there is an ashram where they chant a mantra, which I'm not going to repeat right now. But because once it's in your head, it sticks. But if you stay on the wrong side of the guest house, that it's very easy to remember, on the dark side of the guest house, right? On the shadow side of the guest house. There, that mantra is to be heard very loud. So better stay on the sunny side of the guest house. Okay, that mantra starts with Nitai Gaur, right? And also mentions the name of Radhisham and so on. We leave the rest for what it is. Anyway, that mantra has been introduced by a contemporary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinod Thakur, known as Charandas Babaji. And it is that mantra that he, initially they had a good relationship altogether, but at one point he started to preach this mantra as the mantra, and then the relationship broke. That was not everything. It was not only that he had a concocted mantra, a mantra which was different from the Maha Mantra, although it consisted of names of Gornitai and names of Radhisham, but it was not the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra is of a different nature. The Maha Mantra gives the relationship. It gives an Hare Krishna, Krishna, the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hare representing the Shakti Tattva, the pleasure potency of Krishna, the Ladini Shakti, always engaged in the mood of serving Krishna and giving pleasure. And then Ram, speaking about transcendental pleasure, Ramanti Yogino Nante Satchananda Chetatmaniti Iti Rama Padena So Param Brahma Vidiyate, explaining Ram as the result of this devotional service, an ocean of transcendental pleasure. So there's a relationship found in the Maha Mantra, which doesn't exist in that concocted mantra. So to just make up a mantra with names of Krishna is not the same as the Maha Mantra. And then Charandas Babaji also introduced a meaning to the mantra, which was really a little off, because Nitai Gaur Radhisham, his point was Nitai Gaur Radhisham. Yeah, he said, Gauranga is Krishna and Nityananda is Radharani. So yeah, well, you know, Hari Bol. So one can see from that story that, like, if the tattva is wrong, where's the question of understanding ras? Right? How can we relish the ras? Certainly, Prabhupada said, they get some ecstasy just from chanting the name of Nitai Gaur, but the Siddhanta is not there, right? Nor is the effect of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra there, which fully is giving us the ras by chanting the names of Krishna and Hare and Ram, but also at the same time gives us the full understanding. And in that way, our tasting of the mellows becomes deeper and deeper. So philosophy is important. And we can see that Srila Prabhupada spent a lot of time in preaching philosophy and not so much time in telling a lot of ecstatic stories. And he did tell ecstatic stories, but if you measure it percentage-wise, there definitely was more emphasis on tattva than on ras in his presentation. I really have to adjust it again. To please Manapa. Of course, I think I'm so arrogant that I think I can do it without breaking it. Because I used to be a musician and live with these things. Yeah. 8 hours a day I was sitting behind one of these things for many years, 10 years. The essence is not just knowledge though. If we have the knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then that remains in the realm of jnana. It is said the realm of jnana is to know that the Supreme, who is the Supreme and what is the Absolute Truth. And the realm of ras is to taste the sweetness. of Krishna. So we need both. We need to also taste the sweetness of Krishna and to appreciate not only that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, but how? How is he? How is he the Supreme Lord? That is very important. We see that Krishna is displaying his identity as the Supreme Lord in an interesting way. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is manifesting himself in the universal form. And Prabhupada is then explaining, he says, this universal form is not very lovable. This is not the lovable form of Krishna. And then he gets into a story of how he was in Calcutta and during the Second World War, and that his wife had cooked kachoris for him. And Prabhupada is very fond of kachoris. I mean, as a child, his name was Kachori Mukhi, which, you know, you would literally translate as kachori face. Kachori Mukhi, right? I mean, in a loving way, of course, you know. Meaning that he really loved kachoris. And he proved it because when his wife had cooked kachoris in the Second World War, suddenly the sirens went off for the bombs, that a bomb alarm, and everyone was supposed to go in a bomb shelter. And Prabhupada is sitting there with his kachoris and said, forget it. I'm not going in the bomb shelter. I'm having kachoris here. Right? So Prabhupada just kept on taking his kachoris, but then he saw the bombs actually dropping. And he was saying that was also Krishna. That was also Krishna. But that was like Krishna in his universal form, not who destroys everything, right? Not in his lovable form. So yes, that all-pervading universal form, Prabhupada continues to explain, is very difficult to enter into a relationship with that form. So Prabhupada said, how can you dress the universal form? You can dress the deity, but how can you dress the universal form? He says, not enough cloth. It is very difficult. So it is very important that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the origin of all the avatars, who is the origin of all living beings, who is the origin of all the various energies, that Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifesting himself as a cowherd boy, in a very intimate way, very accessible way, that he becomes a child, that he is grabbing the tail of the calves and being dragged around in the mud, that he is lying to his mother. No, I didn't eat clay. How can they say such a thing? No. I would never do such a thing. If you don't believe me, your own son. If you don't believe your own son, then you can look in my mouth. Mother Yasoda said, okay, open your mouth. She clearly did not believe her own son. So the Supreme Lord who is lying, who is stealing, that's who's stealing the milk and the butter and gives that to the monkeys, and when he is caught, says, what can I do? They did so much service for me in the last life. I have to do something in return. That Supreme Lord is having a personal relationship with monkeys. He is grateful. He is not forgetting. He's still rewarding them. He still has a soft spot for the monkeys. Right? That Krishna is Ishvara Parama. That Krishna who is lifting Govardhan Hill on the little finger of his left hand. That Krishna who is wrestling with the cowherd boys and then gets invited by Kamsa to come to Mathura for a wrestling match. And everyone can see it is unfair. I mean, these wrestlers, Chanura and Mustika, they are monsters, you know, just like nowadays you have these wrestlers by the name of Hulk, you know, some sort of monster named Hulk. And like that, they were enormous, huge. But Krishna and Balaram fought very expertly with Chanura and Mustika. It is said, I always forget who he was fighting with, Krishna. Was it Chanura or Mustika? Which one was fighting with? Slipped my mind. I looked it up several times and now I forgot it again. I think it's Chanura, but you know, my mind cannot be trusted. So possibly Chanura. Anyway, in the Harivamsa, it is said that Krishna gave Chanura a whack on the head, which was so strong that his eyes popped out of its sockets and were dangling there like little. In this way, Krishna showed his supreme prowess. That supreme personality of Godhead. Not only that he is the supreme personality of Godhead, but how is he the supreme personality of Godhead? That Krishna, who is Dhiradatta, he is known as an elegant dresser. Oh yes, Vidakta Madhava. Oh yes, that Madhava, Ma, the goddess of fortune, and Dava, the husband of the goddess of fortune, is in his own abode, not satisfied with only one goddess of fortune, but Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahma Sevyamanam, but is served by many thousands or many millions of goddesses of fortune. That supreme personality of Godhead. Who at the same time though, in the Rasa dance, multiplied himself and who appeared between each of two gopis. And at the same time each gopi was seeing that Krishna was looking at her. And in this way Krishna, who can keep intimate relationships with every single individual devotee, that supreme personality of Godhead, who is intimately involved in the life of every devotee. So we can see that just the tattva alone will not do. Iswara Paramakrishna Satsidananda Vigraha, understanding that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead and how everything emanates from him, that is the foundation. That is the foundation. That must be understood. Prabhupada took up the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and went out to preach. Prior to Prabhupada, maybe that order seemed theoretical. But that order, Yare deke tara kaha Krishna upadesh, Amar agyaya guru haye tara edesh. That order, Srila Prabhupada put it into, made it a reality. Whomever you meet, preach to them about Krishna or about the instructions of Krishna, and in this way, deliver the entire, in this way become a guru and deliver the entire country or the entire world. And Prabhupada did that. Right? To everyone he preached about Krishna. And sometimes in ways that one might think, is that realistic? Is that realistic? Like for example, Prabhupada told, I think it was Mukunda, I'll just say to Shama Sundar, whoever it was, I think Mukunda told Mukunda to go to the director of the O'Hare Airport in Chicago and tell him to call it the O'Hare Krishna Airport. And Mukunda, ha ha ha, good joke, Prabhupada, but it wasn't a joke. He really wanted him to do it, but he didn't do it. It's too embarrassed. But Prabhupada had that spirit. Try it. You never know. He was not naive about it. He didn't think that, oh yes, they'll do it. But then again, you never know. You might just meet someone. And it is like that. You know, when you're out there, you never know who you meet. I experienced myself that I was in South India to investigate granite for the Mayapur Samadhi. So I was in this granite mine, really high tech. They had saws by which they could slice a whole mountain. They had a marble saw which was almost as high as Radadesh. And this thing just could go into the mountain and cut like slices of cheese out of the mountain. And granite. Yeah, it was an impressive factory. And really, really professional. And then I met one of the managers of the factory, and Mr. H.K. Agarwal. And I'm explaining, Mr. Agarwal, I am from the Hare Krishna movement, and would you be able to help us with some granite? He says, you are from the Hare Krishna movement. He says, do you know my name? I said, yeah, your name is Agarwal. He said, no, you know my name. He said, my name is Hare Krishna. He says, my name is Hare Krishna Agarwal. And he was a totally westernized person. Yeah, totally. I mean, this factory was so modern and westernized, there was nothing Indian about him except his name. You know, he's like dressed in, totally in western clothes. He was like having all the western gadgets on his desk. Totally modern. There was nothing Indian about him, right? Except his name, Hare Krishna Agarwal. And he said, I've always wondered, what does it mean? So you just see how Krishna just brings you these kind of people on your path, right? I mean, you know, well, Mr. Agarwal, I'll tell you the full meaning of that name. Granite, granite. Donation, donation, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, right? Boy, that was a Sankirtan devotee's dream. So Krishna arranges these things, and sometimes there are just these opportunities, and Prabhupada would never miss a beat, never, ever. Take full advantage. Yarade ke tarakaha Krishna upadesh, whomever, just tell him about Krishna. Tell him everything, and just give him an opportunity. Fearlessly, Prabhupada did so. No, not worried about embarrassment or anything. Right? Totally fearlessly preaching like that. And then the substance, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Once people come, right, then immediately begin systematically to explain how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in detail. So that is actually preaching, and that is actually our business. For ourselves, yes, we are thoroughly studying the evidence that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how all his different avatars are manifesting. It is very interesting to study about the avatars. And I was reading in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, which is a tiny little book from Kavi Karnapur. But Kavi Karnapur is not your average writer, because he's the son from Sivananda Sen, and as a baby, Sivananda Sen